Well, Merry, Merry, Merry Christmas. Christ is born. See, you didn't know what to do, did you? See, I wanted to do that. I've been kind of rehearsing that in my mind today, so that was fine. No, he is. The Savior is born. And today we come to celebrate not just the manger. We come to celebrate together because of the manger. Amen? And so I'm excited to be here today to worship together and to celebrate Christmas. It truly is a Merry Christmas because of the manger. And so let's worship God today in spirit and in truth. And we're glad that you're here and trust that you'll have a great time worshiping God together. At this time, we'll have the lighting of the Christ candle by the Besson family. And if you'll come and do that this time, that'd be great.
I'm reading from Philippians 2, verses 5 to 7. Have among yourselves the same attitude that is also yours in Jesus Christ, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God something to be grasped. Rather, he emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, coming in human likeness. This is the Christ candle, the candle of hope. When Christ came into the world, he was the culmination of the hope of the people and prophets of Israel for redemption. Today, as we celebrate Christ's coming, we celebrate the inauguration of the kingdom of God and its future fulfillment. Jesus Christ is our hope for salvation, life, justice, and peace.
Whoops. Well, you don't realize how scary it is when you're up here. But good morning and Merry Christmas to you all. Well, as I pondered what I should share, because I was asked to share about the most memorable Christmas that we've ever had, my mind went back to a lot of Christmases. And I remember the one Christmas that we actually drove out to BC to spend Christmas with my family. And the Yellowhead Highway closed in behind us. And it rained that Christmas day, which was a first for me to experience. And then as we were coming home, the Rogers Pass opened ahead of us, and we drove on black ice. Well, that was memorable, but it still wasn't the most memorable. Or was it the time we took our two small children and went to Ontario, to Niagara Falls for Christmas? Well, that was a great time, too. Our brother-in-law said, oh, now I have a chance to let you experience a real Ontario Christmas, country Christmas. And he took us on a sleigh ride, and we got stuck in the mud. Well, was it the Christmas when we had three small children and only $24 to spend for Christmas? That was what the family allowance was that year. And so I prayed, Lord, just cause this money to grow. And so when I went to shop, everything was on sale. And you know what? And then my sewing machine went clickety-clack into the small hours of the night. And it was one of the most wonderful Christmases. And I'm not sure if our children even remember that we were that poor. And then another thing happened at Christmas. We had our first baby at Christmas, and that was such a wonderful time. But then also, I was reminded that God sent his only son. He gave up his only son. Well, as I was holding this precious little bundle, I thought, oh no, don't ask me to do that, Lord. I wouldn't be able to do that. So I just put that out of my mind. Well, those were memorable, all and each and every one of them. But I think I would like to say that being together as a family has been the most memorable of all our Christmases. Yes, we have food and fun and fellowship, and I am yet going to throw Mark off the sleigh one of these times. I tried once, but his children were little then, and they started crying. But now they're older, and I'm sure it'd help Grandma. Well, It's the prayer time that we spend together as a family that's really the greatest. To hear your children pray and the spouses, and then to hear the grandchildren pray, it just does something to warm your heart. And to know that they're all growing and walking in the Lord is just a worthwhile experience. Well, sometimes, I don't know what happens to you, but sometimes there's a word that comes to me out of nowhere. And the word that came to me this week was the word appropriating. Appropriating? I had never even heard that word before. So I thought, well, we'll go to Dick. Well, that's what we called the dictionary at school. So I went to Dick, and lo and behold, that's the word was there. And you know what it means? It means to take for oneself, take possession of, to use as one's own. Well, I really pondered this, and I kind of thought of the opposite. And then I thought of the little nephew that says, thank you, Uncle, for that wonderful electric guitar you gave me for Christmas. It's the best gift I ever got. Well, that's great, said Uncle Fred. He was so excited. Have you learned to play it yet? Oh, no, I don't play it, said the nephew. My mom gives me a dollar not to play it during the day, and my dad gives me $5 not to play it during the night. Now, that was a gift that was not being appropriated. Yes, the gift was the nephew's, but it was not used appropriately. So to appropriate a gift, we not only possess it, but we have to use it. Well, wasn't that a tremendous program last night? I'm still living on a high. Just to think that that this wonderful staff of ours can put together such a beautiful drama. Well, you see, they talked about God's gift, Jesus. And God sent a gift to us through his son, Jesus Christ. But how does this all link up to the most memorable Christmas and God's gift, Jesus? Well, with Jesus in our hearts and our lives, we have a new stigma, a new reason for living. Our relationship with Jesus Christ is the most beautiful and fulfilling gift that we will ever receive, that we will ever possess for our very own. The Bible says, for unto us the Son is given. Did you catch that? Unto us. It's given for us. And isn't that wonderful? It's given for us. So when I think of the gifts I have through Jesus Christ, unto us is given. There's such a myriad of gifts that are given. Why, there's the gift of kindness or faith or love or hospitality and many, many others. And, you know, when you take a look around and you see all of the talents that you're saturated with, and literally saturated with, you know, I think, are we sitting there? Yeah, we possess that talent, but how are we using it for the Lord? Well, we praise God that two of our grandchildren have already gone on short-term missionary trips overseas. And to me, they are appropriating the gift that they receive from Jesus Christ. Well, our most memorable Christmas was actually when we spend time together. We actually spend time together as a family, and we pray for each other. And you know, it's one thing to possess a talent, but it's another thing to use it appropriately. So if we have the gift of hospitality, do we do it our way or do we do it God's way? If we have the gift of kindness, do we do it our way and only be kind to those people that we want to be kind to? Or do we be kind to the people that God wants us to be kind to? And so to me, the most memorable Christmas are the Christmases when we get together as a family and we can pray together. And I remember when I was a teen, I was visiting a place and there was a motto on the wall that says, a family that prays together stays together. And that really spoke to me, and I know that for a fact. We are in love with our family. Our quiver is full, and we appreciate what the gifts the Lord has given us. But as we pray together as a family, we know that we need to pray for God's direction. We need to pray for that relationship where God will show himself, and then we can better use the talents that we have for the coming year. So what do you think of it? Appropriate yourself in the talents he has given you this coming year. Thank you.
When I was up here last Sunday doing the candles, I was probably a little flustered, and that was because we had the shock of our lives last Sunday morning. Some of you know about that, when about an hour before church, our son and his girlfriend came walking up our driveway, and as far as we knew, they were in Fort Nelson, B.C., having Christmas there. So this is probably going to be our most special Christmas. As I think back of special Christmases, actually, Janice, you reminded me of one. I was 5 years old, and it was a Christmas that we weren't all together as a family. Mom was in the hospital, and my youngest sister was born on the 24th. And so Mom wasn't home that Christmas. You just reminded me of that one. I don't remember it real well, but I do remember the day we were in Stony Rapids. Mom came down here to Prince Albert to have Grace. And I remember the day that Mom came home, and it was a terribly cold day. And we saw Mom coming up the walkway there to the house, and us kids all went running out without our coats and with socks on. Mom was telling us, get back in the house, it's cold out here. And I do remember that. But family is special. And all our Christmases were special because they were together as family, whether it was the larger family or just our family. Family is very, very special. And growing up together, there was four children in our family. There's my brother Peter and my sister Georgina and Grace, the youngest, and myself. And I really feel that we were, maybe the others don't think this, but I feel that we were our own best friends. Growing up in northern villages, we did everything together. We played games together. We made puzzles together. We didn't have TV back in those days, and I remember playing games hours on end. We could make a Monopoly game go forever, and all the different games that we played. We played outside. I was actually talking to a man and his wife that were school teachers. He was a school teacher in Stony Rapids when we were just very little kids, and he said, didn't matter how cold it was outside, your kids were always outside playing. And he remembered that Mom would bundle us up, and we have pictures with scarves on and just our eyes peeking through, and we were playing outside. And of course, Christmas time, we always ate and ate. Mom was a wonderful cook, and she baked everything in sight. She had a reputation as the cookie lady to some, and we always had lots to eat. And so each Christmas was special. Today is special because we're all going to be together as a family. First time, I think, in 5 years that since we were all together. And this afternoon, we're all going to be together, the four of us children and our children, and Jennifer's spouse, who's now part of our family. And so that's great, and we're all going to be together today. One thing that was special about Christmas, before we opened our presents, and this is as long as I can remember, Dad read the Christmas story, and that's a tradition that we have kept. We did that this morning, and to read the Christmas story, and that's very, very special, a tradition that we always want to keep going. So what's the best part of Christmas? Family, yes, that's when I remember Christmas, that's the most special for us. What's really the best is belonging to God's family. That's the greatest family. And there are a lot of people that don't have that wonderful feeling of belonging at Christmas time, belonging to God's family. And I think of the three greatest, well, I call them the three greatest gifts wrapped in one package. The first one is that the Father gave. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He gave us his Son. And he came not to condemn the world, but to save the world. The Father gave his Son. And Jesus and the Father, they had such a close relationship when they were on earth. You read in John 17, when Jesus is praying, and you just see the relationship that he had with his Father. And how that must have, I don't know how the Father felt when he sent his Son to this earth, and he knew what was going to happen, that he was going to die for our sins. The Son gave. For there is one God, this is 1 Timothy 2, 5 and 6, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all men, the testimony given in its proper time. Ephesians 5, 1 and 2, be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice, and sacrifices to God, and sacrifice to God. And then the Spirit gave. Galatians 6:8 says, the one who sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. The Spirit gives life, and then the Spirit gives gifts. 1 Corinthians 12:4, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. And then verse 11, all these are the work of one, the one and same Spirit, and he gives them to each one just as he determines. And Janice referred to that, that we need to be serving the Lord with the gifts that he has given. And like I said, this is all one package, and that is the gift of God is eternal life. And God gave his wonderful gift, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the gift of eternal life. One of our friends writes poetry, and I don't know if every Christmas she sends us a poem, but she sent us a very appropriate poem this Christmas, and I'd just like to read that. Preparing for Christmas. Are you ready for Christmas? Your friends often ask. Just what is their meaning if you've finished each task? Are your cookies all baked and your Christmas cake too? Is your menu all planned so you'll know what to do? Is your house clean and tidy with a tree sparkling bright? Are you through decorating? Have you strung every light? Is your shopping all done and every gift wrapped? Are all your cards sent? In the rush, are you trapped? Or are your friends asking if you're ready in heart? In your frantic preparations, does the Lord have a part? Have you paused to thank God for sending his Son to live among people, die, and rise for each one? Have you opened your heart, God's gift to receive? Christ will enter your life when you repent and believe. Then live life to please him and pray every day. Keep reading your Bible for a guide on your way. Now you're ready for Christmas to praise God for his gift and with life, love, and compassion, other burdens to lift. Merry Christmas.
I'm glad Albert was before me because the mic is right where I need it. Well, when Pastor Devin asked me to talk about a Christmas when I was especially close to Christ, you know, I had to think quite a while to select a story because there are actually many. Each Christmas since I became a Christian is very, very special. But I remember in particular when I was pregnant with my son Daniel. He was born in February of 97, so in December of 96, I was big, and I was round, and I was eagerly awaiting the day that I would become a mom for the very first time. I remember anticipating the birth of Christ that year with a different perspective than I had ever before. I found myself contemplating did Mary have similar feelings to myself? Being anxious, excited, and uncertain, all seemingly at the same time, about the role that she would take as a mother? When she felt her baby move in her tummy, did she wonder if she would be able to be everything that he needed her to be, just like I did? I'm willing to risk saying that yes, Mary did feel the same way, being young and human as I was. I also remember thinking that what must have weighed even heavier on Mary's mind was the fact that she was carrying the very Son of God. Not only was she experiencing the natural changes that occur with pregnancy, but she was on a journey of incredible spiritual significance. Did she have any idea of the magnitude of what God had asked of her? Mary would be the mother of Jesus, the Christ, the promised Messiah, God in human form. You know, that blew me away, thinking that Jesus, my Savior, and the Savior of all who believe, entered the world in the same manner as my baby would. This brought the grace of God into a whole new light for me. I came to understand a little bit better the extent to which our Lord went to reconcile himself to humanity. The Apostle Paul describes this when he spoke of Jesus in the letter of Philippians. In chapter 2, verses 6 to 8, and Nico already read them this morning, but I'll read them again. Who, being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. So I understood more fully how Jesus left heaven and allowed himself to be limited as a human being in order to teach us more about God the Father and to ultimately give his life to pay for our sins. What an incredible love he has for us, for me to have done this. How humbling it is to consider his sacrifice. One of my favorite Christmas carols is O Holy Night, and I would like to finish off with the words from this song. The King of Kings lay thus in lowly manger, in all our trials, born to be our friend. He knows our need, our weakness is no stranger. Behold your King, behold before him lowly bend. Behold your King, before him lowly bend. May you all have a blessed Christmas.
Well, I noticed on the order of worship here, it says preachment 1, preachment 2, preachment 3, and then it says, for me, illuminated preachment. So I was going to light myself on fire and see where we go, but it's great. Well, we've heard this morning about something spectacular, actually something miraculous, and that is, I don't even know if that's a word, Ian, but it rhymes. So the birth of Jesus Christ proclaimed through various clips, Christmas clips, various stories, whether that even be in song or whether that be with word. There is such power in the birth of Christ. And I don't know about you, but when I hold a small child, when I hold a baby in my arms for a dedication like a couple of weeks ago, thank you, Andy and Ian, for having another child so I can do that. But I think of that. I think of the power of the birth, because Jesus was very clear in talking about that power, because this is the power of eternity at the manger. And there's something miraculous that occurs when you see a child or when you hold a small baby. It's something life-giving, life-transforming. How many of you opened your gifts already? Oh, good for you. My children made a suggestion to us. I have great kids. I really do, because they said, hey, you know, Dad, instead of the rush of Sunday morning, let's wait till after the service to open up our Christmas gifts. Isn't that tremendous? Yeah. We could, yeah. Dan caught me. We could sleep in. It was great. But actually, I got up this morning and Nathan was already pacing. Can't we open our socks at least, you know? It's great. Christmas, though, affects everything about us. And as I thought about this morning, I was thinking about the various Christmas clips I have in my own life and the various stories that I could tell. And I thought of a time where, and you've heard me tell this in various forums, but I have to tell it here again because it's so critical, because it makes us understand things a little better about how I live. But, you know, I remember one Christmas morning, unwrapping the gift that Joan gave to me, and it was a makeup kit. And it was. It really was. I thought it was just a box with something in it, so I opened it up, and she was like, and there it was. It was a makeup kit, and I use it regularly. But she said to me, she said when I opened it up, she said, "Oh, your niece is going to enjoy your hair dryer." And I thought about how sometimes we unwrap the wrong gift. You know, like we don't come to the manger and take the gift God gave. Instead, we take a gift that's been wrapped wrong, and we start to accept things that aren't really true anymore. I was also thinking of a Christmas where my mom and dad went off to work, and us kids, we were home, my older brother and I, older to me, he was 6 years older, and he came up with a brilliant plan when I suggested this. "Hey, why don't we open all the gifts under the tree and rewrap them before mom and dad get home?" And he came up with that great plan after I said it. And so we unwrapped all the gifts under the tree, and then Christmas morning when we unwrapped everything, we went, "Ooh, ah," you know. And my brother said to me, "Don't act so, you know, ooh, ah, okay? Your mom and dad are figuring this out." But they'll never figure that out. We've never told them to... Oh, hi, mom and dad. I thought they're here. How many of us, though, really do put away the manger for Christmas? I mean, think about it for a moment. There's one sound that I love in this room. And that sound is the sound of children making noise. Because, see? Right, he says, yeah, or she. I remember one Christmas, what I did at a service is, I have to say that. We had a cake during the service for Jesus, and we all sang. I had all the kids come around, and we all sang Happy Birthday to Jesus, and all the kids blew out the candles. And there was a board meeting held very immediately after that service. And the board said to me, "Look, you don't do that kind of stuff during church. That's not what church is about. Church isn't about getting kids excited and stuff. It's about coming in somberness and reverence. Don't get them excited anymore." And I thought from that moment on, I thought, how sad. How very sad, because Jesus himself said, "Suffer the little children to come to me." And I wish so desperately we could be like little children at times. Because I think sometimes we forget what it is to go back to the manger and hear a little child born. A wealthy man and his son loved to collect rare works of art, and they had everything in their collection, from Picasso to Raphael, and they would often sit together. They'd admire the great works of art, and when the Vietnam conflict broke out, the son went to war, and he was very courageous, and he died in battle while rescuing another soldier. And the father was notified and grieved deeply for his only son. And about a month later, just before Christmas, there was a knock at the door, and a young man stood at the door with a large package in his hands, and he said, "Sir, you don't know me, but I am the soldier for whom your son gave his life. He saved many lives that day, and he was carrying me to safety when a bullet struck him in the heart, and he died instantly. He often talked about you and your love for art." Well, the young man held up this package, and he said, "I know it isn't much. I'm not really a great artist, but I think your son would have wanted you to have this." And the father opened the package, and it was a portrait of his son, painted by this young man. He stared in awe at the way the soldier captured the personality of his son within that painting. The father was so drawn
to the eyes that his own eyes welled up with tears, and he thanked the young man, and he offered to pay him for the picture. Oh no, sir, I could never repay what your son did for me. It's a gift. The father hung the portrait over his mantle, and every time the visitors would come to his home, he would tell them the story and show them the portrait of his son. But everyone else just said, well, we want to see the Renoirs. Can't we see the Renoirs now? Well, the man died a few months later, and there was to be an auction, a great auction of his paintings. And so many influential people gathered, and they were excited over seeing the great paintings and having an opportunity to purchase one for their collection. And on the platform sat the painting of the son. And the auctioneer pounded his gavel, and he said, we will start the bidding with the picture of this son. Who will bid for this picture? There was silence. Then a voice in the back of the room shouted, we want to see the famous paintings. Skip this one. Go to the next one. The auctioneer persisted. Will somebody bid for this painting? Who will start the bidding? $100, $200. Another angry voice came across. We didn't come to see this painting. We came to see the Van Goghs, the Rembrandts. Get on with the real bids. But still the auctioneer continued. The son, who will take the son? Finally, a voice came from the very back of the room. It was the longtime gardener of the man and his son. He said, I'll give you $10 for that painting. Being a poor man, it was all he could afford. The auctioneer said, we have $10. We have a bid of $10. Who will bid 20 for this painting of the son? 20. Give it to him for $10. Give it to him for $10, they were shouting in the crowd. Let's see the masters. $10 is the bid. Who will someone bid $20? The crowd was becoming more and more intense and angry. They didn't want to see the picture of the son. They wanted the more worthy investments of their collections. The auctioneer pounded the gavel. He said, going once, going twice, sold for $10. And a man sitting on the second row shouted, now let's get on with the collection. The auctioneer laid down his gavel and he said, I'm sorry, the auction's over. What about the paintings? Everybody said. Well, I'm sorry. He said, when I was called to conduct this auction, I was told of a secret stipulation in the will. I was not allowed to reveal that stipulation until this very time. Only the painting of the son would be auctioned. Whoever bought that painting would inherit the entire estate, including the paintings. The man who took the son gets everything. God gave his son over 2,000 years ago to die on the cross. And much like the auctioneer, his message today is, the son, who will take the son? Because you see, whoever takes the son gets everything. Janice read for you from Isaiah 9. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. When I met with those deacons after the service, by the way, it wasn't this board, just in case you're wondering, it wasn't this church, but when I met with those deacons, and they told me that we're no longer to have a birthday cake for Jesus. We're no longer to invite children forward to sing happy birthday to him. I said to myself, how sad. Because they forgot what it's like to really know Jesus. Because he calls the children. And you see, when you get the son, you get everything. Including that understanding, that childlike faith. To understand God even better. To him be the glory and the honor forever and ever. Amen. Now you have stories that you could tell. Christmas stories that you could tell that I mean, we could be here till next year. Tell your story. Tell your story. Don't hold on to it anymore. Let it go. I'm going to ask all you children, I want you to come up here. Would you mind coming up here for a second? I'm going to take a mic. Can you guys come up here? It's great. Don't be afraid. Come up to Uncle Devin. Come on.
No, come right up. Come up here. Come. No, no, don't sit down there. Come up here. I want you to come up here. Do you know how special you guys are? No, come on. Right up here. Right up front. I want these people to see you. Hey, how are you?
Good.
Talking to the mic is kind of fun. What?
Good.
Right on. This is great. Can you guys see inside of here? What do you see inside of here? What do you see? Anna, what do you see in there?
I don't know.
Do you see, is there anything in there?
No.
Tell, say, say no.
No.
It's right. There's nothing in. You know why there's nothing in there? What do you think?
There's a blanket in there.
Well, there's a blanket, yeah, that keeps it warm. But there's nothing in there because it's supposed to be a baby in there.
But God is everywhere.
God is everywhere. He's not here. See, he's everywhere. He came as a little baby, and he died on a cross so that we could love him because he loved us, right? Isn't that cool? So this manger's empty, but it's kind of neat to see the manger. Isn't it? We're going to sing Happy Birthday to Jesus. I think we need to do that. Is that okay? Let's sing Happy Birthday. You're going to join us, right? Happy birthday to you. It's to Jesus. Happy birthday
to you. Happy birthday, dear Jesus. Happy birthday to you.
Guys, go back to your seats. You're so sweet. Look at this beautiful Christmas. Look at this. This is great. Ah, happy birthday to Jesus. Merry Christmas.